these people's lives in a way that only you know how. So everybody, here's Al Bala. I don't even know exactly what he's going to talk about. I just said whatever you think is going to help move people forward. We love you, and we appreciate your heart and your passion in this business. So thanks, Al. I'll turn it over to you.
Well, you are so welcome, frankly, it is, you know, I just kind of caught the end of your conversation about the Thanksgiving letter, and I think it's an awesome thing to do because I do believe that, you know, it's funny, I just posted on my Facebook today an attitude of gratitude, and for me, that's a feeling that I have. This is what this season brings to me, is really this attitude of gratitude. I mean, I hope that everybody will not go through Thanksgiving as just a condition, but sit down and ponder on this whole concept of giving thanks. I think our forefathers had a lot of insights in creating a special day that is dedicated to saying thanks, because an attitude of gratitude is the way we should start, not just, you know, for special occasions, but every single day of our life. It ought to be something that we resolve to do, that we would resolve to have an attitude of gratitude every single day, because an attitude of gratitude usually will create more circumstances for you to be grateful for. You know, no future gift or achievement will ever fulfill us unless we feel grateful for the blessings we currently have. Now, one of the things I have to say is, you know, one of the things I would be very grateful for in my mind at this point is the fact that we do have this incredible Manatech business in our hands. You know, I was just in Toronto this weekend did the Super Saturday there. And it was very fulfilling to see really a room of about 100-some people really come alive as we went through the whole program. And there were some new people there. Just got a note yesterday that some of those new people actually signed up on the spot, because it was just a certain kind of excitement, a certain kind of feeling in that room that created this desire for people to want to be part of it. You know, so my word for today is gratitude for sure, but with gratitude, it makes me think of attitude as well. And this attitude is, you know, are we going to be excited about what we have? And will that excitement attract other people to us? Last week on Tuesday, we had Jeannie on our Tuesday leadership call, and Jeannie is someone I met on a boat just when we were on our way to Bermuda, and it's amazing. From a small conversation we had, probably about a half hour to an hour, there was just a shift in her attitude. And then as soon as she came off that ship, it was just like, you know, everything she touched turned to gold. And it was just almost to her amazement how much things were different. I think she told me she brought 4 new people last week. I said, Jeannie, when was the last time you brought 4 new people in 1 week? She said, never. She said, I don't know what's going on. I said, Jeannie, I know exactly what's going on. You shifted. And the minute you shifted, then everything around you started to shift, you know, and it was not about any technique. It was not about any, you know, special thing. It was just about her, just about the you part. You know, I was in Europe last week, and the theme of the convention was the magic in you. And I tell you, that so inspired me that for 2 hours, that's all I could talk about, the magic in you. Why is it that if you can change yourself, you can change the world? You know, I'm reminded of a saying that was found that is in England, in one of the places where they bury all of their great people, and the saying was really about just that. You know, I tried to change the world, and I found that I really couldn't change the world, that the world didn't want to change, you know, and then I tried to change my family. I mean, I decided to change my country, but you know what? My country really was not open to changing either. So then I decided, well, I was just going to change my family. And frankly, neither could I change my family. So as a person went through their whole life, they finally realized, basically on their deathbed, you know, that the only thing that they could have really, they should have done all along was change themselves. Because if they had changed themselves, then eventually they could change their family. You know, if only I had changed myself first, then by example I would have changed my family. From the inspirational encouragement, I would have been able to better my country. And who knows, I may have even changed the world. So for me, the message for everybody on this call today is realize the magic in you. I mean, you have that greatness in you, and this is not just mere inspirational or motivational. This is really my core belief. Every time I'm sitting in front of anybody, just as I think with Michelangelo, when he sculpted David out of a slab of a marble, and they said, how did you know? I mean, how did you know that you could really sculpture something so beautiful out of just an ugly slab of marble? And he said, you know, that when I looked at that slab of marble, all I saw David inside of it, and it's just that I had to chisel away all those things that were not David in order to make that to happen. So every time we look at each other, when we look at other people, especially those of you who are leaders, when you look at your people, do you see that an amazing sculpture that is inside that person? Do you see that amazing leader that is inside of that person? Do you see that greatness that is inside of these people that just needs a chance to be liberated so that they can be all that they can be? And for me, that is just not just something I'd say to just get you motivated, something I really, really believe. Because, you know, I what we have discovered really is that people make extraordinary things happen when by liberating the leader within. And for me, leadership, everything rises and falls from leadership. You know, every time you see something good happen, it's about leadership. Every time you see something bad happen, it is leadership. It is the influence of others in a productive, vision-driven direction that is done through example, conviction, and character. Example, conviction, and character. So this morning I will challenge all of you, not on your integrity, because I, you know, you have it, not in your conviction, because I think you have it. I'm going to challenge you on your example. What example are we setting? What example are we setting with the way we talk, with the way expectations? Because I tell people all the time, if you don't expect to be a platinum, and if you're a leader and you don't expect to be a platinum, you're basically saying to everybody around you, I do not believe that you can be a presidential. So, you know, so dreaming small, thinking small is selfish, because it's saying basically, I don't believe that the people around me can liberate that greatness in them. You know, we're going into a very interesting season, you know, Thanksgiving, into Christmas, into New Year. And you know what? It would be so easy. Again, this is attitude. What's your attitude? Is your attitude going to be, well, you know what? We might as well just kind of, you know, close things down because, you know, we're going into the holidays, and you know what? We'll start all over in January. And, you know, so the next 6 weeks, let's just kind of, you know, enjoy the holidays and go through this thing. Then we'll do Manatech in January. And boy, I tell you what, we're going to really go strong at it. Well, that's not true. For me, 2012 will be decided by what you do in the next 6 weeks. Will you be building the foundation of your business in 2012, the next 6 weeks, or are you going to spend the first 3 months of the year just trying to make up for what you have lost in 6 weeks of inactivity? Now, this is usually a talk I've had for 30 years, every single year, around this time of the year, to people who may be thinking, you know what, maybe I'm just going to take it easy, enjoy my family, do the things I need to, and you know, you can do all those things. But this is a season where I find that most people are that much more concerned and aware of where they are financially. A lot of decisions are going to be made over the next few weeks about how each one of us will bless the people around us. And this is a time where most people realize how much they are limited financially in the choices that they can make to bless other people around them. And there's no better time than right now to really, if you have the attitude that says, you know what, this is the time I'm going to choose to do something different than everybody else so that I can make my 2012 be different than everybody else. Okay? Because if you think like everybody else, then you will have what everybody else has. Now, most of the time, most of us would not want to have what everybody else has because that is not so pretty. It's not so nice. And most people realize it right now, at this time of the year, how much more they could be, they could have, and but yet we're going to decide to do what everybody else does and then expect to have the something different. Well, it's not going to work that way. This is a time where you say, well, how can I know that I can do something more than what everybody else is doing? Because you're going to do the things now that everybody else is not willing to do. And then you're going to be able to live like everybody else cannot live because they didn't make the same choices. The choices you make over the next 6 weeks will make a big difference of what your 2012 is going to be. And for me, 2012 is a magical year for Manatech. And some of you that are going to be at the summit this year will see that, will feel that, will know that, because we're really on the brinks of some amazing things to happen. And I know Mary Jo may have shared a few things with you guys, hopefully not too much, because we want to keep an element of surprise for some people. But I tell you what, there is a lot of things that we got coming on that I believe, for me, will be absolute game changers for Manatech. And this is not the time to slumber. This is not the time to rest. This is not the time to mentally check out and be on vacation. This is a time to be alert. This is a time to have your radar on, because this could be, the next 6 weeks could be the time where you find those four people that you could really lead into 2012 and lead all the way to summit of 2013, which you probably heard is not going to be a summit like any other summit. So over the next 14 months, we're going to have some very interesting things happen with our company, with our products, with our system, with our training, with our philosophies, but all things that I believe you're going to find to be game-changing. And frankly, I know, Mary Jo, you've been excited for the last few weeks. I literally have not been able to sleep the last few weeks, knowing what I know and knowing where we're going. And all I can say to you guys is this is not the time to just slow down. Doesn't matter what the season is. There's always going to be another season like this season. But what is your 2012 going to look like? Will you be with us at Summit of 2013? You know, when I share this with the folks in Europe, I mean, they went out and created a Facebook page, which is exactly about Summit 2013. And because there's a lot of people who are making some very serious decisions right now, I have never seen more activity in Europe since, you know, as I've seen in the last couple of weeks since I left there. People have taken it very seriously because they realize, again, everything rises and falls on leadership. And leadership is really the art of influencing, the art of helping people work enthusiastically towards goals identified as being for the common good, to get superior performance from these people, to really create a mental picture of a preferred picture, a future, and ask people to follow them there. So it's also a violent conflict against the status quo. I hope you're not excited about status quo. I am not excited about status quo. you know, one of our mentors in this industry has always been a gentleman called Art Williams. Art Williams founded the Art Williams Insurance Company, the first MLM in insurance, which then finally became Primerica. And after, I don't know, about 10 or 15 years, he came back as the founder of the company and addressed the crowd at the convention, in 2011 convention. And it was amazing to me to see that what drove this man is this absolute hate for an inferior insurance product called whole life insurance that was being sold merely because it was the status quo, but mostly because that's what paid the most. And really, the public got misled for hundreds of years with the wrong product. And in his own life, he realized that when his dad died early and his mom had nothing from a whole life insurance. So, and this is not an insurance talk, but he created a passion for destroying whole life insurance because it was not the right product for the masses, and went on to create an unbelievable company, you know, as a coach, you know, a high school coach, to becoming a multi-billionaire because he had a passion for righting a wrong in his mind. You know, and I was thinking about it. My dad was just cutting my hair this morning. We were talking about vitamins. He's taking a vitamin B12, which is synthetic. And it got me really talking to him about it because, you know, what he didn't realize is just as most of the other vitamins and minerals come from petroleum and rock, actually vitamin B12 is collected from sludge because it's a yeast. It's sludge. It's like the last, yeah, it's, I mean, I can't even describe to you guys what that comes from because it would be disgusting. And for me, that was wrong. It was wrong for people to not know these things. And I could feel rising in me this passion to right that wrong. It's like it can't be. We can, you know, people cannot just, you know, I mean, for lack of knowledge, people cannot just perish for lack of knowledge when knowledge is so readily available. And that's only because a few people like us are not willing to go tell the story. I mean, I had to tell him. And, you know, and finally, by the time he finished cutting my hair, I think he was convinced never again to touch a vitamin, you know, the synthetic vitamin, you know, B12. But, folks, that's the passion we got to have for this thing. You know, I don't think we can rest until we know that people know the truth about what's going on. I want to check and see, make sure I'm still on because I've been talking for a while here and I can't hear nothing. So,
yeah, we
are. Can you hear me?
You're still on, Al.
I'm still on. Okay.
Yeah, see, we got the group muted. We mute the people in the audience.
Okay.
So if you want them to respond to you, you can ask them to come off mute. If they have questions, we can open up.
I'm going to be off my soapbox here in a few minutes here. But Mary Jo, there's something that rises in me to know. I mean, and I know my pastor says what makes you mad is your calling. It's your assignment. But it really makes me mad. It makes me mad. It really it infuriates me to know that the common man, the average person, is misled by people who make a profit out of this lack of information, this ignorance of facts that are so critical to our lives, and they profit from it, and we sit back. And nothing can be worse than those who have the knowledge sit back and not share the knowledge with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of just having waking moments of and not be doing something about this. Now, that it just could be me, so thank you for allowing me to jump on the soapbox. But I just want to tell you what drives me is the fact that I cannot stand ignorance. I cannot stand people being led the wrong way for profit motives, okay? And frankly, what even upsets me more than anything else is the laziness, if I were to put it in that way, the laziness that exists today by the average person to not even want to find the information because the information is available. Okay? And so there's two elements to this. One is me. I have to go out there, and I got to share it. Now, on the other side, I don't care if they're really ready to listen to it or not, because if they're not, then I dust my shoes and I move on to the next place and tell that story again and again and again and again and never stop telling the story, because what's right is right. That's it. I mean, and you know what? I'm going to do all that I can do, but I'm going to do it.
Right. I agree.
And I'm not going to regret it. It's done.
And Al, I'm sitting here listening to this, and I'm going, you know what? I don't think I'd necessarily call it laziness. I think what it is I would give it the word indifference.
Apathy.
Apathy, indifference. And you know, as I was traveling through my journey this past week, it was about, you know, I read a lot of stuff and did a lot of work on myself, and it was fascinating that when, if you think about the word love, and you say, what's the opposite of love? And you say, hate. And that's not true. The opposite of love is indifference. Yeah, it's apathy. It's indifference.
Exactly.
And I think when we don't show people, and we don't pour, and we don't support, and we don't step into servanthood and serving others, we're really showing a sense of that apathy, of that indifference, like we're choosing to be indifferent about about helping others. And it saddens my heart, because it's like, what are we here on earth to do? We're here on earth to serve. And it's like, you look around and there's so much ignorance when it comes to health, and if we're overwhelmed by the ignorance. We just have to look at, just drive by the nearest McDonald's and you'll see ignorance, right? I mean, at some core place in your heart, in your beingness, you got to find it that this just has to stop. This has to end. This, we're killing ourselves. We're destroying our own health. And through the process of destroying our own health, we're creating a crisis in our health care in this country. And through creating a crisis in our health care in this country, we're effectively destroying our country.
Absolutely.
We can't compete on a world marketplace. We can't create jobs. You tie this back. You look back, and a lot of people want to argue about the housing crisis or the financial crisis, all these things. But the bottom line is that the reason we don't have jobs in the United States today is because we can't compete. We have the largest health care costs in all of the world, by 100% differential. I mean, the second largest healthcare cost is 50% of what ours is. And you layer that on top of what, you know, you layer that on top of what it costs just to make something, and there's no way you can be competitive price-wise.
No,
and anything that we create, absolutely no way. We're starting off 10 feet beyond it. And when I was out in San Francisco, I'll just share this to add to that, the front page of the paper while I was out there, like Thursday or Friday, it said that with the new costs, because of healthcare costs rising, he says the average person in California, 20% of their income goes just to healthcare costs. 20%. That's unbelievable.
The other side of that is, the other side of that coin is, because that's unsustainable, USA Today today, if you'd read USA Today, that now they're going to force doctors to go to cheaper interventions, because the system cannot afford it. So it's no longer about what you need or don't need. No, it's about what they can afford. So
right.
when we get down to that level, so that the service is going to be, even when we're still paying twice the amount that everybody else in the world, we're going to do it to get inferior service.
Right.
But you know why that is, Mary Jo? Is because people and are stepping up to take the responsibility, both of their knowledge and then doing the right things about it. Well, but that's
right.
Where we come in. We have to be the catalyst. We have to be the opinion leaders. We have to be the folks who care. Okay, like you said, I mean, not the ones that are going to sit back and go, well, you know what? There's Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. You know what? I'm just going to take a mental vacation. You know what? Not, you know, because the world is not taking a vacation. Everything is going to continue to happen. And you know what? And all we're going to do is set ourselves up where next year it's going to take us the first 90 days of next year just to get ourselves back on the saddle. And you know what? In the meantime, people perishing for lack of knowledge. People are perishing for lack of knowledge.
Right.
On our watch. On our watch.
Right. And if you can sit back and you can say, you know, I'm in my 50s or 60s. I only have to survive here, you know, 20, 30 more years. What about your children? What about your grandchildren? What is the legacy we're leaving here? I mean, where's the commitment? I look at this as, this is my responsibility. I step into personal responsibility. Now, that's not Mary Jo saying, I'm taking responsibility for 5 million children dying every year of malnutrition. I take responsibility for the failure in the U.S. economy. I'm just saying, I'm stepping into responsibility from this definition. The word of responsible means able to respond. Do you guys get that? It's not about guilt and shame and blame. It's about, this is on my watch, and I, Mary Jo Hilliker, just like you on this call, you are able to respond. And we have this incredible mission in front of us, this mission not just with Sam's layering on top of us all this Give for Real awesome program, but we got a responsibility right here in our backyard, right here in the United States of America. We truly, if we don't take action, this country is going nowhere but down. And it doesn't have a chance. We don't have time to show indifference anymore. It's time for us to rise up, and it's going to be those who rise up. I mean, the reward will look a million different ways. But to me, the most important reward is individually, one by one. It's like that Al said, we go out, we touch lives, one by one. It's that starfish out there. You guys know the starfish story. You know that there was that little boy who, this huge storm came in and all these starfish washed up on the beach. And he saw this and he was so overwhelmed by the pain and the agony of these starfish and the potential death of all these starfish on the beach. That's just like us. That's just like Americans today. Here in America, all of us are on the beach. And this little boy looked at this and he said, boy, I have the power, just like you on this call. You're that little boy. You have an option here. You can look at this problem and say, oh, man, there's zillions of starfish. There's zillions of drugs being taken. There's zillions of doctors trying to be too greedy. There's zillions of other problems. Congress can't even vote on a bill to pass. You know, why does me, little me, have anything to do with all of that? But you know what? You are that little boy. You're that little boy who can just reach down and grab one starfish and help toss that starfish by opening them up, opening their eyes, giving them education, letting them learn how they too can make a difference just with their own lives. Even if they don't choose to do it with others, they can do it with their own lives. And you can help that starfish and toss that starfish back in the ocean. And you can continue down that path and just keep tossing them and tossing them. And when you have the naysayers come along, like that man who walked along the beach and came up to that child and said, son, what do you think you're doing? How do you think you can make a difference? Because people will challenge you. Every time you step into responsible, you will be igniting people to step up in your face. People will fight you. People will come after you. They'll step up and tell you you're wrong. They'll step up and tell you, what do you think you're doing? How can you make a difference? They will do all of those things, will come up, and they will challenge you. It will come in your face, because anytime you try to do what's right in this world, you are going to bring on challenges.
Because you're challenging status quo, and status quo is something that people violently, violently want to oppose any change to status quo.
Right. They want to protect it because it's a known zone. It's ugly as all sin today in this country. Status quo is ugly in this country today. But people oppose change because it's the known zone. They know it. They know what today looks like. They know what tomorrow. And when you start challenging their today and tomorrow, they don't know what that looks like. And they just are stuck. But we know what it looks like. And that's why we have that insight, we have the ability to make that difference, and we need to be those little boys on the beach throwing those starfish in. Because if we all contribute, you know what, we may not save them all, but boy, we're going to make a gigantic dent in this world, and that's what we're here to do. That's exactly right. So, yeah, warriors on this phone call. We can all get together and participate together to be those warriors. And that's how I see us at Manatech, that we are those warriors. But the warriordom starts inside of you. What's holding you back? What's keeping you stuck today? Is it all those challenges that you're up against and you're letting them control your life? You're giving away the control. You're giving your power to something outside of you. Or are you going to internalize and say, I am powerful beyond belief, and I know I can go out there and make a difference. And it doesn't matter if somebody says no, if somebody says pyramid scheme, if somebody says this is a joke, if somebody says my product's better than that, if somebody says, I mean, none of that matters. That's other people's stuff. Know that you are on a path that is so awesome to help change this world, change this United States of America, get us back on track. And that's the belief you have in yourself, and that's what you go out with, and don't let anyone be a naysayer to you, because that's not about you.
Right. Well, you know, Mary Jo, I mean, Thanksgiving is a time to think about many things, but one of the things I would challenge everybody listening to here is to think about those people, the patriots who created this country. Okay, and become a student a little bit of that history, our history, the history of this country, the history that created this concept of Thanksgiving, and understand what those people had to do for us to have what we have today. And I think it is one of those things we need to resolve ourselves to be, is can we be like these patriots? Can we be those who are willing to step in a gap and really have the conviction, the courage of our conviction, and stand for what is right, even if it means that eventually you could die for that reason. Now, nobody dies here. No, there's not a no out there that's going to inflict pain on you besides the pain that you allow it to inflict, because that's about all you're fighting against is, as you said, those naysayers and the people who will say no, you know. And, you know, that doesn't hurt as much as dying, being killed for your conviction. This is not that kind of fight that we're in, but it's a worthwhile fight. And I think let's think like patriots. Let's be grateful for the country we live in. Let's remember those who made it what it is and gave us these freedoms that we have. And now let's think about what is it we going to do to continue that legacy and move it at least so that the next generation has those same freedom, the freedom to be healthy, the freedom to be wealthy, the freedom to have a purpose and a mission, and to be able to bring that greatness out of each one of us. So anyways, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's been great talking to you. Thank you for allowing me to just get on my soapbox a little bit. But I just want you to know, when you're out there fighting, we're here on that side. We're going to be fighting with you, okay? And hopefully you get some comfort of knowing that you're not alone in trying to do right. There's many people like our patriot, Mary Jo Hilliker, who are stepping the gap and want to be counted. And Mary Jo, I appreciate what you do, appreciate your passion, appreciate your action, because your action speaks louder than any word. And so I appreciate the opportunity to be on your call. And so anyways, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Al. Thanks for being with us. Do you want to open up and see if anyone has questions for you or anything that might come up? You guys, anyone on the call this morning that just has comments, questions, unmute yourself, and we're here to serve you. We got about 10 more minutes that we can work through this. Anyone on the call? Even if you want to just express, did the call mean something to you? Did this help you see something different or look at your life a little differently, or look at the next six weeks in your life a little differently?
Hey, Mary Jo, it's Paula Underwood.
Hi, Paula.
Hi, Al.
Hi, Paula. How are you, sweetie?
I'm great, and I just wanted to thank you for your soapbox. It's something that we all need to hear from time to time, and we just need to get ourselves back out there and talk to people.
Amen.
It's just been so exciting. I've been back out there. I've been meeting people, and it's energizing, it's fun, it's, you know, we just have to, sometimes it taking that first step is hard, but once you take that step and you realize that you're making a difference in people's lives, it's just, energizes you to keep going. So I just appreciate your words, Al, and we're ready to rock.
Great.
Amen. I tell you what, the best is still ahead of us, you know?
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, Al?
Yes.
Fred.
Hi, this is Fred. Can you give us a little more insight? You mentioned that what things are coming ahead. You say game changer. Can you give me just a little more insight of what you're talking about and what the time frame is?
Al, before you answer this, earlier on you said, I don't know how much Mary Jo has told you about this. I've told him nothing because I hold my confidentiality statements very sincerely. Because, of course, coming from my legal background, when somebody tells me that this is confidential, no one hears about it, okay?
Actually, Mary Jo, I was hoping you have already started telling.
Sorry, buddy.
No, there's no confidentiality here about some of the things that I believe we need to, are going to happen. But let me tell you, a part of me wants to say, let me tell you what's going to happen. And this is the danger we all run into, is some of you are going to sit back and wait until those things happen, and then you're going to make a decision to do something. Now, this is where I'm going to challenge your faith in some ways. And again, I'm jumping in a soapbox. I apologize. But I want you guys to realize that whatever you do can only be enhanced by what's coming. Okay? Now, what's coming is going to have to do with simplifying our product offering. What's coming has to do with simplifying the way we do business in a way that we have never had in 18 years in a company. Okay, it's going to have to do with a whole different calling upon what we're doing right now. You know we've had a calling, but I think what's coming up, emerging from all the things we've done the last few months, is that we see a new calling. It's not a new calling, it's an addition to our existing calling, which is just as powerful and compelling to people that are out there. And frankly, it's really creating a new culture of leadership, a new culture of taking responsibility, a new culture of, it's launching a leadership revolution is what we're going to be talking about at the summit. But along with that, we're going to be talking about some things that are very practical that will really turbocharge your business as we go forward. So that's as much as I want to say right now, and I just want to say, again, not saying just trust us, but you know what? We already have so much in a pipeline for everybody to use in a way that can really move their business forward if that's what they have decided to do. And everything that we bring in addition to that is only going to turbocharge your activity from the next 6 weeks. But again, it will be a shame. And I think you'll realize it as well when you get to the end of that 6 weeks, when you get into entering the new year of 2012, when you get to the summit of 2012, of realizing that you, by not doing the things you need to do the next 6 weeks, by not taking advantage of everything you already have, that you have shortchanged yourself, because now you're starting from ground zero instead of having already built momentum that we can accelerate.
Right.
Okay, you cannot accelerate a parked car.
No.
Okay? The car's got to be in motion, and then whatever we do will accelerate that motion and that momentum.
Hello?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Fred, I know you. I probably have not answered your question, but that's in purpose.
That's fine.
And Fred, you're part of boot camp. You know our big goal here, and all I can do is continue to emphasize the critical importance of us doing absolutely our best efforts in the next 6 weeks to get those four partners that we talked about since 1st of September. Right out of ManaQuest, we came out with, you know, the Real Switch Challenge, and we need to get those four partners in place. We need to really go out there and work hard at finding four people dedicated to be warriors with us. And so continue on that path. Put
Amen.
All your breath and energy with that. Through the efforts to find those four, you're going to find a lot of consumers, and that's great because that builds your business as well. But critical to you is to find those four partners. So just keep on that path. And people are in this mood right now, as Sam, as Al said, that they're looking at Christmas. They're looking at, the, you know, they're not going to be able to do what they would have wanted to do. Why is that? Start doing self-examination. And do you want 2012 to look the same way? Well, if not, then do something different. And this is what I'm proposing, you know. Make 2012 the best year of your life. And you can run with that whole philosophy over the next 6 weeks. Lydia and I are starting to do some flyers and some things that are different just to tie into that, making 2012 the best year of life, and dig in, delve into those things, and we'll be sharing that with all of you as well. But really, that's our goal, is to set up 2012, because whatever you have in place coming the beginning of 2012 is going to catapult you into what's coming from, you know, the presidential meeting in Hawaii and all that. It's just going to be, you'll fly. Okay? Trust me, you'll fly. Right, Al?
Absolutely.
Do we have somebody else?
This is Rebecca. Hello?
Hi, Rebecca. We're here.
I just wanted to tell you thank you, Mary Jo and Al, for the encouragement to just keep looking at the focus. The Denver for RMA, MMA, we had a Super Saturday with Ray Robbins, and it was just fantastic and just confirmed everything. Just keep going and focus on the vision, and I'm just really excited about moving forward in these next 6 weeks. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Good to hear from you, Rebecca. Thanks for your contribution.
Yeah, I'm just really excited about focusing on and not giving up on these next 6 weeks. It could be awesome, and I'm just really pumped now.
Great. Good to hear it. That's what we love. Get pumped. Right. Absolutely. Anyone else?
Mary Jo, this is Mary.
Hey, Mary.
I just wanted to tell both of you, but especially Al, because I think this was instrumental in providing for us the coaching guide that we can use with people who come on board. It has been wonderful to be able to use that. This past week when I sat down with somebody and asked her if she was interested in the business and she expressed some hesitancy, I said, you know what, we have this a business development guide that we're going to go through together, and then we have a coaching guide. Look, it says this is what we cover on coaching call one. This is what we cover on coaching call two. Her eyes got big, and she made a commitment that this is what she wanted to do. Now, that is really exciting that we actually have a great plan. And then you tell us it's going to get better. You know what? Use what we've got and get things going. I mean, I really appreciate everything that both of you have been saying. So thank you so very much for the call today.
Wonderful share. Yeah, and I think what you're hitting upon is the number one reason why people don't get started is because they go, I don't think I can do this. And all you've shared with us, Mary, is really, you can show them how, yes, even you can do this. Maybe it hasn't worked for you the other five times you've tried this, but did you ever have a development guide? Did you ever have a coaching guide to show you exactly what to do on your first coaching call with a brand new person, your second? I mean, it overwhelms people. They're like, oh, my gosh, this is, you know what I call it? I call it, you know, remember paint by numbers? This is manifest by numbers, right?
Yes, very good. Yes, that's a great analogy.
Yeah, and you can draw that analogy when you share with people, and they get excited because they go, it helps you quash that feeling or sense that I can't do this, and that's, you've got to overcome that, or the people will walk away. And that's what I love so much about the program Manatech has. It's so definable, so easy, and that's why I actually have it part of my three-ring binder. I have the coaching guide, and I have the development guide in there because I just want to show people. When I show them that, I show them the presentation, and then I show them how easy it is. One, two, three, this is how you do it. And it's both in the three-ring binder, and they just look at that like, are you kidding me? Uh-huh. All I need is that. Woo! I can even do that, right? Yeah, great.
Exactly.
Thanks, Al. Hey, congrats on your success. Yeah.
Thank you. Al, I also want to say thank you for that analogy of you cannot accelerate a parked car. There have been a lot of us who have been parked on the side waiting for something to happen, and you just have to get into motion, and it's a whole lot more fun to be in motion than to be a parked car.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to step out of the call.
All right.
And, but I tell you what, it's been great talking to you all again. Happy Thanksgiving. It's a heartfelt happy Thanksgiving. And let's stay in an attitude of gratitude this whole week and keep thinking about what it took to create what we have today, what we're grateful about, what it took to create that, and keep thinking about what is it you're going to do to leave a legacy behind of other people being able to be grateful about something.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you, Al. Thank you. We appreciate. I'll stay on you guys for a few more minutes if you have some more questions or comments. Thanks, Al. We love you. Okay, anyone else have any questions, comments, anything left? I think we lost. Did we lose everybody?
No, you didn't lose us.
Oh, there you are. I just got quiet. Okay, I was like, boy, did that get quiet. Boy, Big Al's presence on the call, and he's gone, and the whole call kind of goes whoop. All right. Any other last-minute comments, questions? By the way, we'll get the email out to you about what Lydia talked about, what I talked about at the beginning of the call. Lydia's already drafted it. I just need to take a peek at it, review it, and then we'll send it out as soon as the call's over, okay? So look for that if you want to do Thanksgiving Day letters, or even if you just want to develop a more complete email bank, eat list of those in your downline. Right, absolute.
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
This is Carol out here in Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Carol.
Just wanted to let you know that yesterday afternoon we had a 3-hour area training here in the Portland area.
Wonderful.
Got people excited about the past incentive, talked about the real switch incentive, did a training on prospecting, and then did over about an hour and a half training on the map and the coaching, and then did an overview of the standardized presentation, and I think we've awakened Portland. So I'm really
Yoo-hoo!
Excited.
Yoo-hoo!
Hopefully we will have some moving forward out here.
Oh, I love it. Congrats. Great job, and I'll keep you guys in my prayers. I just love it. Love to hear action. Good, good, good. That's what it takes. Education action, yeah, but you know, we got to get out there and put ourselves out there to teach people, train people, let them know what we have. We have invaluable tools and a great process, a great company, great products. It's just, let's go out there and change the world together. Yeah. All right.
You know, fueled by the training on the ship, I just hammered in. It's three bits. It's three steps. It's four people. That's it. It's the iPad find four. That's as simple as it can be. That's all we have to do and teach it.
Right.
And then when we went to the coaching part, they said, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh. That's just a surprise package. That's just another blessing in the program, right? Yep.
And when I first heard the map up at ManaQuest, I was kind of an overwhelm with all that information. But, you know, when you break that down into 5 days of coaching, it just breaks it right down. And now it's simple.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I've done, I don't know if I've shared it with you guys, but because I've used it over and over again, but what I've done is on the top page of every page in that development guide, I put day one, and then when it gets to day two, I put day two, and I put up in the top corner. So every one of my pages is now labeled in the top, whether it's day one coaching or day two. So I don't have to really go back to the coaching guide. I have it all in the development guide. And then I also write down just what is the homework I expect to get from them on that day. Okay, so when I get to day two of coaching, I said, okay, now, you know, this is what I should have gotten, or this is what I got from you, and, you know, da 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 da, and let's review that first. So I have all of that, you know, written into my own coaching guide. It just makes it, not coaching guide, my development guide. So it makes it easier. I never have to go wrong. I don't have to page back and forth and kind of flip around. I have it right there. So there are a lot of techniques you can use to make it more usable for you, but it's a real blessing. I love it, and I'm finding myself teaching things that maybe I dropped out in my past. I haven't quite been as thorough, perhaps, in going over all of that. And I surely hadn't given people a path to go on so they could do the same thing I had done. And that's what clearly was missing in my process. But I just love what they've done for us. It's a blessing beyond belief, and we all can do it. And that's what's joyful. So
it is.
All right, Mary, put a
go ahead. Note on those each of those days. Is that what you do? You put a sticky note, like where you send the homework or whatever?
Yeah. Oh no! On each of the day, I put day at the top of the page in the development guide. I'll put at the there's 4 or 5 pages you cover on day one. So I write day one. So as I'm flipping through it and going over it with them, I know when I stop. I know how far I need to go, because that's not clear if you just look at the development guide. It's only clear if you go back to the coaching guide and flip back and forth. So I just wrote day one at the top of each of the pages that that I need to cover in my first day of coaching. And then at the end, I put what's the homework assignment, just to review it, make sure that they review it. And then when day two starts, I say at the top of day two sheet, I have, did you collect the homework? So I have warnings for myself. This is what I need to accomplish here, and this is what I need to collect. Make sure I collected from them to go into day two of coaching. And I technically, this is what I'll tell you guys right out of the box, you know, if that person didn't send me the homework that I assigned, day two of coaching doesn't happen. I mean, there got to be consequences to people's actions. If they're not jumping through the hoops, according to the coaching guide, I don't have day two of coaching. I say, you know what, let's reschedule. What happened? What got in your way? I get it. Things happen in our life, but remember, we make commitments, and you know, you can renegotiate your commitment, but commitments are commitments, and I want you to really get how big that word is. So, well, let's do it again tomorrow. We'll do it. Can you get it done today so we can start back up and capture day two tomorrow? Follow me? You don't ever let people off the hook. You don't have to get into the shame blame game, but stay true to your character, stay true to what this is about, because if they get sloppy in performance in terms of what they get back to you in the coaching, what are they going to create when they start coaching people? Oh, my gosh. You've just created a backsliding organization, and you don't want. You are in this world to create extraordinary results. So put yourself out there to do that. Don't let mediocrity flow into that life. You know, just choose extraordinary. Right?
Right.
Okay, everybody. Love you all. You guys have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving. That heart of gratitude. I'll just go one step further than Al did. I don't think you should have it this week. I think you should have it every week. I think you should have it every moment of your life. In fact, it's one of the rules of network marketing, those 9 unbreakable rules of network marketing. This book that was written years ago, one of them was the law of gratitude. When you come from gratitude, you will change. Your beingness will be different in each and every setting, because it really will become a part of just being happy, being peaceful, and being able to move people forward with love and gratefulness instead of your stuff showing up. So really, look at that heart of gratitude and apply it in every way, shape, or form, and you'll just create incredible results in your life. So, all right, everybody, I love you all. I'll send you Lydia's instructions, and I'll also send you a copy of our final Thanksgiving letter that we're sending out this year. You can, you know, do whatever you want. I'm not telling any of you you're incapable of doing your own, because you're all incredibly capable people. But every once in a while, people say, well, Mary Jo, could you just give an idea of what you do? Okay, I'm giving you an idea, but you're capable. Come from your heart when you draft your Thanksgiving Day letter, and it will be fabulous, okay? All right, everybody, love you. And next Monday we're gonna do a book review, and I shifted. I chosen one, and now I'm shifting, but I haven't really made a final commitment, so I'm not gonna say what the book is, because I really can't be honestly tell you, because I haven't put my finger on it. I've got so many good ones, but I'm leading into creating a phenomenal 2012. That's gonna be my whole direction for December's calls. I'm going to do a little bit different than what we've done in the past, because we've always hammered on goal setting. It will be around that concept, but I want to do it differently. It's going to look different for you. So be present in that, because really that's what we're going to create in 2012. I really look that 2012 and is truly one of those years that Manatech has never seen in its history. And I want to be a part of it in a huge way, and I'm sure you do too. So we'll just jump on this boat together and ride this voyage as we go through the next 6 weeks and then 2012. So So get ready for all that and have great holidays. Enjoy the turkey. Enjoy whatever. By the way, some of you know, I think I've told you in the past, every year we got kind of bored of the turkey thing every year in and year out. Or I should say I did, because I'm the cook and I love to cook. But, you know, there's only so much you can do to a turkey, you know. So our family for the last 10 years, every holiday, Thanksgiving and Christmas, I let the kids choose a country. And this year we've chosen France. So if you'd like, I can even send out to you after we've finished making all this stuff. Here's a menu we chose for our Thanksgiving Day dinner. And it just, it's so much fun. I don't know how many of you enjoy to cook. If you don't enjoy to cook, then maybe turkey's perfect for you. But I love cooking, and it's just a chance for me to put on something, on just a beautiful meal together to, you know, pour into other people and contribute to other people. And so we just have a blast doing this every year. It might be an idea for you guys, too, if you just want to trying to turn the corner and say, hey, let's do something different for these holidays, because that turkey gets a little, I love turkey, but you know what, cooking one just isn't like something, you fix it all up and stick in the oven and that's it. I like to be real creative with my meals. So love you all. Have a great, happy Thanksgiving. Love on all those people around you, and just know that they're just a tremendous mom people out there in our world today, in our neighborhoods today, that are so less fortunate than we are. And we just got to keep them in our hearts. And no matter where you are in your position you're in today, there are just tons of people out there less fortunate than you. So let's have compassion and let's go forward and make this week just a wonderful week for all of those people as well. Amen to that. Okay, love you. All right, guys, talk to you next Monday. And again, have great holidays. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.